All right, welcome to episode 280 of the Linux Lugcast. We're an open podcast / lug that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern every first and third Friday of the month using Mumble. We encourage anyone listening to join us and participate on the podcast. Check out linuxlugcast.com for the server details. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to discuss and are unable to join us live during the show, you can send us an email at feedback@linuxlugcast.com. We also have a video version of us, which is a bit behind. We have links to our PeerTube and YouTube channels, both in the show notes and on our website at linuxlugcast.com. We also have a Matrix room where we sit around and discuss things, which lately has just been people talking about different types of filament for 3D printers. Mm-hmm. All right, I am Honky Magoo. With us tonight is GNU to Linux.
Hey, what's up?
Lovecraft.
Good evening, everyone.
Minix.
Hello.
Morton C.
Hello, all.
And last, of course not least, Netminer.
Hello.
All right. So, who has any sort of projects they've been working on? What have you been doing, Danny?
I printed like a prototype for this lampshade kind of thing. I'm made it for my plants. I have a grow light. That's what it's called. This thing. So I was just kind of using some real cheap PLA I had before, because I want to print it from ASA, which is supposed to be the upgrade for ABS, which is good for high temperatures. This may have some high temperatures. So I've designed the shade in OnShape, the CAD program I talked about before. And so I printed this kind of prototype. It shifted on the plate, so it didn't. You can see the top here. It just kind of where it shifted while it was printing. But that's fine. I just wanted to see if it would work. It's pretty big print. And so I have like some notches in the back. So the way it goes is like the lamp goes in here. And then this is mounted on the wall and angled down like that. And then on the back, you can see it sticks out like that. So that's where this part goes like that. I made some like tabs for it. Some like tabs that go in these slots and on shape. And they just pop on like that. But then that's the whole thing. Points at the plants like that. And that's flat on one side to mount against the wall. And so I printed that in PLA just to see how it's going to come, because the ASA is kind of expensive. It's like $20 a roll. PLA, I think, was $10 a roll. And so I had to make some adjustments. I had to shift. So I just sliced part of it to print for a test, and I had to shift this hole over. And I had a printed part of the back too, so I could adjust the tabs because they were too long. So now it pops in nice and tight, and just like that. And also I had to put like this slot on the side for the cord to run out. Let's see where I'm at. So yeah, that's what I begun designing and working on that. And right now I'm trying to get the ASA to print right so I can print the actual thing. Hopefully I'll have it printed this weekend and mounted and shining on my plants. But that OnShape, I'm really getting the hang of it, so I can design stuff in it pretty easily now. Have you tried it yet, Honky?
Not yet. Oh, there's a thing he was talking about. I think I need to go back. I'm hoping to get a copy of the video and go through the tutorial that you did the last time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'll send that to you. The little helper bot in it actually works pretty good. Little OnShape AI or whatever. you can just say how do I do this or how do I do that, and it searches through the manual, kind of spits out the right stuff you need, tells you how to do it. So yeah, you just start with sketches, 2D sketches, and then extrude everything, sketch on sketch on sketch. So like if I bring up this lampshade, I'll show you kind of an example of it. Have I cut out yet? Dang it. Whenever I make a new tab and try to move it, it crashes. I can jump back in. They'll hold me out. Now, let's see. Yeah, I may need a new lamp. My CPU keeps pegging. I'm running about 70C. Maybe I need to run a lighter distro. Let's see if I can share this.
You know, you got a nice echo going, right?
Oh. Actually, let me stop sharing to full screen sharing. It still didn't work. How did we share before, where you could share the whole thing instead of just in a window?
I used to share in the window normally. I think you have to share your window, right?
Yeah, but that's what I'm doing. Sharing. Did we just go to start screen sharing?
Yes, I believe so.
I go to share. It just shares it in a screen. Oh, there we go. Okay. Do you see now? Full screen?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so this is the... Kind of see what it looks like. Barely moving. Yeah, and so I had to make a bunch of little planes to sketch on them. And then tabs are kind of neat. I looked up like an industrial manufacturing manual, how to make tabs. So if I go here, you can kind of see how they're just kind of these slots that go in and then fit over the edge. And that worked out pretty good, actually. All right. So been working on that. As far as like Linux related stuff, I haven't done much except I have a third interview for a Linux related job. It'll be the final interview Monday.
A new job?
Yeah.
You just got a job.
No, that was in June. Tech moves fast. This is for a fintech company. It's a DevOps engineer job. So something I've been wanting to get into. It gets me closer to my beloved Linux and away from Windows. Right now, I'm doing sysadmin work mainly with Windows Server, and it kind of sucks. And Azure. So this will be more like developing a pipeline from Rails servers to SaaS, like web applications for financial firms and stuff. So anyway, we'll see. Hopefully that works out. I got to go see them on site Monday morning. Let's see. Oh, you can install Kodi on WebOS now on LG TVs. So I got it installed on mine. But it runs pretty slow and takes up all the RAM on the TV.
Oh.
Because I wanted to use the Raspberry Pi for something else, if I could put Kodi on the TV itself, because that's basically all I use the Pi for, is to run Kodi. But it runs so slow, I may have to keep it on the Pi. Studying for my RHEL sysadmin cert.
How's that going?
It's pretty good. It's actually not that hard, you know. It's aimed towards beginners it seems like more people who are in the Windows space that don't know much about Linux. Like the study material is like, mentions Windows a lot. This is what you would do in Windows, but this is how you do it in Linux. And so it's stuff you would already know, pretty much. It just kind of gets down into the nuts and bolts, especially about permissions and stuff. All the system tools, things like that. But you probably use those tools. Let's see what else. I don't know. If I think of something, I'll bring it up. What about y'all?
Really not much. The most techie thing I've been doing recently is, so my wife has a Cricut machine and she's been making a lot of shirts and stuff, but a lot of times what she winds up doing is, going to Etsy and downloading a bunch of, SVGs and using those, or using what's, available in Design Space for Cricut. And so I know that there's got to be a way to just take an image and be able to turn it into a usable SVG for Cricut. So I've been playing around with trying to do that. So I know there is a way. There's lots of tutorials on YouTube and stuff. It's just finding, just doing it, just getting doing it the right way to get it to come out right.
Yeah, what's that open source Inkscape?
Inkscape, right. Yeah, that's what I've been using.
Yeah.
So it's a way to like just take the image and then try to get it. Yeah, just to vectorize it and get it so it's usable for the Cricut. I think I may have just done it. I'm not sure. So I've been playing around with it while we're on the show now. But I don't know, it'd be cool. Wanted to. Part of the new park that just opened up in Universal is the Super Mario World, or mm-hmm. Epic. It has a little Super Mario World in it. So my wife wanted to make like just Mario style t-shirts and stuff, which I'm perfectly fine with because I'll wear a Mario t-shirt anywhere. So I wanted to make a zip up hooded sweatshirt where it has the Boo little ghost. Has him hiding on the front, and in the back it has him, as just the regular Boo, possibly chasing Luigi, depending on how in-depth I want to go. But so I've just been playing around with that.
What does she like to use the Cricut for?
She's been making her own shirts. She's been designing. She's been using. She likes to make her own cards. She just figured out how to do that, and she's made all sorts of cards. So she makes all the birthday cards and sympathy cards and anything, cutting out a lot of cards. But she uses like the heat transfer stuff, and she did some pot holders. She put like some sort of like little saying on it. She's cut out vinyl and put it on like she had a sign that she made, big sign that she made, where she cut out the vinyl for it and put it on. All sorts of things. She wants to get into mugs. She wants to get a they have a mug press for it. It's a little bit of a pain because of the shape of it, so you need a press that's in the shape of a mug. Because she had gotten and they Cricut
don't does, they do like dye sublimation for mugs?
I don't know. This is more of
they do, but you can also use the Cricut. That's
can you?
Yeah. My aunt did it. I don't know if she had the stuff for the mugs. I know people that do that with the Cricut. Yeah, they have little stores online. They make a couple $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she wants to start up a store with just like little stuff. With the mugs are kind of cool because they have like color changing stuff.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah. So if she gets a mug press, she got some color changing. So that would be cool. Try to design something with that.
But yeah,
that's pretty much all I've been doing, technology wise.
Two more and see.
Who went to Massachusetts?
Well, I put in the chat. I got this Bluetooth mouse that works with the Starlab tablet because it doesn't have a USB port for a dongle.
Mm-hmm.
Audio card. So now I have a mouse for the tablet. I let off the button. before we went to Massachusetts, Elle and I got We ordered an Asus and an HP laptop that was on sale. I don't know if you've seen the price drops on a bunch of stuff for
like Friday?
Older chipsets. No, it's like the Ryzen stuff dropped. And
Windows 11 or what?
I assume so. So there's an HP that came with Ubuntu.
Oh.
And she puts Solus on it. So yeah. It's a rolling release. They have their own package manager. She's playing with that. And I'm going to put Ohm Archie on the Asus VivoBook. And I think I'm just going to remove that and put Solus on it. Because I have Ohm Archie. A Debian rolling release, I believe.
Well, Solus is still being maintained. I know Ikey left it a long time ago.
I think so.
He started it and then got it going and then was like, nope, I'm out.
I remember Solus.
What was the window manager he came up with?
Can't remember.
I don't know, but we got XFCE.
All right.
There's Budgie, Gnome, Plasma, and the XFCE is beta. Yeah, Budgie is a
fork of Gnome too, right?
I thought it was Enlightenment.
Well, they have Enlightenment. I'm sorry, they have
Enlightenment. That's Bodhi.
Oh. Bodhi uses Moksha.
Yeah, Moksha. Yes, that's what that Bodhi uses, yes. Yeah.
Right. Isn't Budgie a fork of Gnome 2? When everybody got an uproar when Gnome 3 came out?
What?
Budgie.
Budgie? I thought Budgie... No, Budgie was the... Well, Budgie was the desktop environment that Ikey came up with for Solus. I don't think I don't remember what it's based on.
What was the Gnome 2 for? That they kept developing because everybody hated Gnome 3.
Those were both Mate and Cinnamon,
wasn't
it? Oh,
Mate. I can't remember what I thought Budgie. I don't know where I thought that was Budgie.
The intention was to use GNOME components to create a more lightweight and traditional desktop that had most of the features of GNOME. But yeah, created by Ikey.
Was he supposed to come out with an OS called like Serpent or something?
Evolve OS?
Evolve.
I don't know. I'm trying to look.
I want to hear about your trip to Netminer's house.
Didn't we already talk about that?
I've only heard about it spoken about in legend and lore. How was the computer collection?
When we went inside, L said, "Are you a hacker?" And said, yes. and then she said, "Do you use all these computers?" And before he could answer, I told her, "Yeah, he uses all of them because so he has monitors plugged into stuff, and I have two monitors, mm-hmm. and all my stuff is headless or connects to those in some way." So I was like, well, I have at least that many.
How many monitors?
That was five. Is that right, Netminer? Five monitors? One?
No. I have seven in the living room. In the dining room. There's a couple.
I guess I didn't see all of the dining room.
Yeah, well, some of it's one of my big machines is tucked around the corner from the three monitor machine that you saw.
CRTs?
No, but I am still using some 1280 by 1K. Actually, when I can get them, I've been going all IPS.
So does every computer you have a monitor on it?
God, no. I have several in the deadline, two of which were just added to by Mortensy, that are offline and out of network. I may have to rework my network some. I also need to try to get an updated PFSense, but the owner of PFSense makes that a pain in the ass. I'd have to use a second email because I forgot the magic password that you have to get download the free software. So they're really trying to make it harder to get a hold of PFSense, the updated 2.8 version. I may have to go in through my Proton mail.
What about OpenSense?
I have not been able to get a good ISO of OpenSense.
What kind of specs does that HP have, Mortensy?
I'll look it up real quick. It is a 15.6-inch FHD Linux Ubuntu laptop, anti-glare display, 10-core Intel i5-1235U with 32 gigs of RAM, 2 terabyte SSD, and 256 gig portable SSD. The Wi-Fi 6, USB-C, Linux Ubuntu OS.
Does it run pretty good?
We didn't run Ubuntu on it. We immediately switched to a rolling release, so Solus, and I think it was in an ad, and it was 500 and something, and they already changed the price to $729. Mm. But we got it for 500 something.
I'd like to get a new ThinkPad, but they're so expensive right now. You guys see how much RAM is right now? Crazy.
Is it expensive?
Yeah, it's going through the roof.
Ooh.
Not sure why.
All these data centers. How do you know what it is? That's what I read.
Yeah. It's like 1.5 times what it's usually is.
I sent my Starlab laptop that died 1 month after the warranty.
Mm-hmm.
And DHL shipped it back to me because it has a lithium battery in it.
Oh,
yeah.
They said, you're not authorized to send this. And I was like, but I'm... They have a shipping... Their company, it's their shipping label to return it. So they haven't responded to me because I already paid for the shipping and for the diagnostic for them to look at the laptop.
People ship laptops all the time. Why is it now?
You have to label it.
Oh, yeah.
It is labeled. It's in the original box. They opened it up and they opened up the laptop. There's 4 screws missing.
Who did? DHL did?
Somebody did after I dropped it off at the shop. Yeah.
Really?
It was an all-in-one mail place. So DHL, USP, UPS, FedEx, there were like 5 or 6 different ways you could ship. It was a drop-off place for DHL.
Wow. That doesn't sound right.
Weird.
I don't think they should be allowed to open up shit like that.
Yeah, the bubble wrap was unwrapped, and I opened it up, and there were 4 screws missing.
So that never made it to Star Labs?
No, DHL sent it back to me, so I'm trying to ask Starlabs what next? Do I need a new shipping label? Because I assume the one I printed off has already been used.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I need to take the battery out, because the battery is swollen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It and the tablet, which is what my Jitsi is on, is the tablet. They run very, very hot. Elle has the same laptop, Starlabs, and I stole it from her while I was going to try and get mine fixed and put my hard drive in hers. And it doesn't seem to run hot like mine does.
and they're the same. They're the same laptop. The only difference is I put more RAM in mine.
That's what I did. My NVIDIA Shield tablet. You guys remember that tablet, the NVIDIA Shield tablet that came out? I wanted to use it, but I couldn't connect to the Wi-Fi for some reason, so I just did a factory reset. And when I did that, it started getting really warm, and then the stupid battery puffed up and knocked off the back side of the tablet.
Oh, jeez.
This is the battery. So I took the battery out. Let's see. This is what it looks like without the battery. Oh, that's the tablet. Yeah, it just puffed up and knocked the back off. So I ordered another battery from AliExpress. Let's see when it gets here. But it's got a thermal runaway board in it to prevent stuff like that, supposedly, from happening. But, yeah, it got all puffed up. Oh, a bitch. It's a 3.8 volt, 5100 milliamp hour battery. But I found another one. I didn't want to give up on the tablet. It's been a good tablet. It's old. I mean, I think it runs Android 7 point something. And they never updated it after that. Well, I mainly wanted to carry it around just to study on. But it was easy enough to remove and looks easy enough to replace. I mean, it's glued in there, so you have to get like a spudger and go all the way around it and pry it out. You know. So waiting on that battery, waiting on the PETG from Alibaba. That's what I was going to look at. I got a shipping notice that has been shipped. What do you guys think the shipping time is going to be? I'm sure it's going to be on a boat. A bunch of other bullshit.
March.
Let's see.
Hello?
Hey, Joe.
Hey. We were just talking about my Alibaba order.
Oh.
From that pet G for $7.
Yeah, well, did you see the one I sent you for the PLA that was, what was it, 5 rolls for $30?
$34. Yeah, I sent you the, I replied, remember, because I sent you the 1 roll deal.
8 or 9.
Yeah, just under, how much is it?
Is ordering the $35 one.
$8.39. For 1 roll. But you have to get that weird dark blue color. That's the only one that's that cheap. But I mean, if you don't. What is PLAF, too? It's called PLAF.
Fast.
Oh, really?
There's so many different kinds of PLA now. It's really.
They just call it. They don't say it's fast PLA. They just call it PLAF filament. This brand is, it's funny, all the brand names that are just obviously
PLA Plus
make up, like the Chinese names that they name their filament. What is mine called? Kalidi filament. That's the one I ordered from Alibaba. That came out to $20.31 for 3 rolls.
$21?
It's $20.31 for 3 rolls total. Just under $7 a roll. Gee. But that's with that $20 discount for the shipping, and they have that promo going on right now.
That one was Alibaba.
So, Joe, I'm printing some ASA right now.
Which is supposed to be the upgrade for ABS.
Yeah, let me.
I wonder if it's any easier to print.
I mean, I'm printing it. I'm pushing the speed faster than I think you would. But it seems to be doing okay. I put a giant brimmer on it, closed everything up. I got the chamber at 42 right now, I think.
And I don't know. The Centuri Carbon just makes ABS so easy.
Yeah.
If ASA is supposed to be easier, then.
So do you don't slow it way down for ABS, do you?
I've been using stock settings. I have not tweaked anything.
So So that's what I'm using, except for just the temperatures. I put the bed at 100 degrees. It seems to be doing okay. I was printing a temp tower earlier and it fell over and was shooting spaghetti everywhere.
I think the generic ABS, the bed is 100 degrees.
Yeah. This is a Polymaker. So it was kind of expensive. It was like $20 ASA.
That's still a good price compared to what it was a couple of years ago.
I'm surprised how cheap PETG and PLA is getting. They're pretty cool.
I mean, $10 a roll is nice, but now you're seeing sub $10 a roll.
Yeah, it's crazy. You go to Micro Center, it's still, what, $20, $18 a roll, something like that.
Yeah, but you're paying the convenience tax to pick it up.
That's true. What are you eating?
Fish, mashed potatoes, and asparagus.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. What about you? Have you had any tech projects you've been working on?
Oh, just the normal stuff. I mean, yeah, I've done some 3D printing. Hold on, I even got notes here somewhere. Well, yeah, I still haven't set up a new Nextcloud. I need to.
How's your little mini rack doing? Mini PC.
I was going to get to that, but the mini rack is doing well. But I had a power outage yesterday, and I started having issues with another drive. So I have started the process of looking for a UPS. And these are all my low power stuff. There is a bunch of it. So hopefully a halfway decent one. But UPSs, you know, I guess they have come down in price, but they're still not cheap. I was talking to Jim earlier about potentially, you know, getting some 12-volt batteries. And I guess I would need two of them because most of your UPSs seem to be 24-volt. And, you know, finding an old UPS that has a bad battery and then making my own and 3D printing an enclosure for it. And if I use something like a couple of marine batteries or a couple of motorcycle batteries, I expect it would last a really long time.
Yeah, you need some deep cycle batteries like those marine batteries or something.
I'll tell you, it's a big scam with these batteries.
Oh, yeah.
I've got five of these APC back UPS heavy surge suppressors and battery backups, and then one smaller one. And, you know, after 6 months or a year, if there's any substantial dip in the power, the little display on front, it starts blinking to, like, let you know, like, that one battery is, you know, on the fritz. It's like its lifespan is close to the end. And a lot of times, all it takes is one incident, like where the power goes out, and suddenly it realizes, oh, it's low, and it won't stop blinking. It's really annoying. Now, sometimes you turn everything off, take the battery out 10 minutes, put it back in. That blinking goes away for another 6 months or a year. Now, eventually, of course, you will actually need to get a new battery because it truly is, you know, going low. But it seems like, I guess because I got, you know, six of them all together, like every time I turn around every few months, it's like, oh, my God, now this one's going.
And I was looking at you know, new prices on the APCs, and you showed me that battery, and it's the price for the battery is almost as much as for the entire thing. Like, I could almost buy a new one.
Yeah, but I mean, unless you intend to buy a new APC, you know, a battery backup, take the battery out, and then try to sell the thing on eBay without a battery to get your money back. What's the point? I mean, you're better off just spending the $55 for the battery, because I know you're going to spend probably, who knows what, $50, and, you know, 6 hours of time fiddling, not to mention how much time you spent 3D printing and to get something that's the
equivalent. You see, you're forgetting something very important here, and I mentioned it earlier. I enjoy that shit. That's fun for me.
Okay.
It's not fun for you. It's fun for me. Figuring out how I have to hook it up, designing and 3D printing a case so that it all fits together. My only problem is if I do get, a couple of the deep cycle batteries, motorcycle or marine batteries or whatever, it's going to be really freaking heavy.
So yeah, you're not going to be moving it all the time.
It's going to get set up. And it's going to get forgotten.
I just resign myself to every maybe 6 to 10 months buying a new battery for whichever one of them is going low. Because here in Florida, there's a lot of lightning strikes and the power dips frequently. And I have them protecting all my computers and TVs. Because if you don't, you're risking everything.
I can see that now with this system that's a problem. But I have not had that problem on any of my other systems. It's just this one, the mini rack.
PC, yeah,
and I think it's because of the separate power supply that goes directly to the hard drives. So the hard drives are not getting powered at the same time as the system in most cases, or they're coming back up sooner. I don't know. I think the UPS will solve that particular problem.
Mine is a refurb from one of those enterprise server resellers. It's just rack-mounted cyber power. I've had it for over a year, and I haven't had any issues with it.
I used to see them quite a bit at, like, the community outreach and the Goodwill, both resale shops. But I don't think I've seen one lately. If I do, I will grab it, and then if I have to get batteries or make my own batteries, that'll be fine because I'll be getting it for dirt friggin' cheap.
Have you seen those? I think it's in Pakistan, it is in Pakistan. Those little shops that refurbish the lead acid batteries, I'll, like, take it all apart. And it's interesting. I just do it all by hand, and then they sell the battery. The funniest one was when they would refurbish the tires, and, like, they had this bald tire, and so they just cut some grooves in it with a knife to make new treads. Like, man, you're just asking for trouble.
That is dangerous.
Yeah.
Very.
What could go wrong?
All right. I think I'm going to get this little PLAF for $8. Amazon, the blue stuff. Hard to beat that price.
Oh, that one you sent me? Yeah, I ordered it.
Oh, did you? Yeah, I think I'm going to, too. I mean, I don't really like that blue color, but I don't care.
Right, I'll find something to use it for.
Yeah.
I got some black I need to load up right now, but...
I wonder if they just take the least bought color and then mark it down the most.
Quite a bit.
You know that... A lot of those cheap ones in Alibaba were like a bright orange or a bright yellow.
I can find uses for them.
Yeah.
Two different conversations going on.
Batteries and printing. Oh, I put some links in the show notes, Joe, of this filaments I found. These foaming filaments. Have you seen those?
Foaming filaments? No, yeah. I haven't seen those.
One is a TPU, foaming TPU. The hotter you get, the softer and more foamy it gets. And the other is a foaming PLA that stays rigid, but it's super light. It only uses about half the amount of filament as regular PLA.
Oh, have you seen that article that came out that said the Centauri Carbon 2 would get the multi-filament
material? Yeah.
And the one, it would be a lot longer before it did.
If it ever does. I did.
If it ever does.
Yeah.
That's messed up. That's pulling the rug.
Because wasn't that a selling point of the Centauri Carbon?
Yeah, that it was supposed to be getting it eventually, yes.
Yeah. Who knows? I doubt they'll put it out for it.
Yeah. That's what you get for buying in early.
But I'm happy with it. I mean, it's
I love it.
Definitely worth the money.
Even with just, the single material, it's still great.
Yeah. I would use the... Well, no, I wouldn't really have a use for them. It'd have to have, like, a dual extruder or something. I was thinking of, like, if you wanted to. Maybe you could do it with one extruder. I don't know. I read this article about how you can print a circuit board, working circuit boards, and with using a conductive filament and then a regular filament.
If just your top layers are the conductive filament, then I could see it working.
Yeah. Did I post it in the Matrix? I thought I did.
Oh, I remember you talking about it, but you were talking about it in thank you, in regards to people that bought those extremely expensive printers.
Yeah.
And then use them to print tchotchkes.
Here it is. Make a 3D printed circuit board. I'll put that in the show notes. I thought this was interesting. They used a dual extruder for this, though, instead of just a regular multi-material printer. Back to the show notes here. Okay, I put the link in there. It's an instructable link, but it's kind of cool. It's like they use a graphene-based PLA filament for the conductive part, and then either PLA or ABS for the board itself. And they even show like a little circuit working that they printed. I mean, it doesn't look like what you would get from a PCB manufacturer, but it's kind of cool. Just that you could do that now, you know. They designed it in KiCad and then made an STL file from it.
Well, I take it you're enjoying Onshape? I'm just looking at the notes now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been using it a lot. I'm printing this grow lamp shade for my plants right now. So I printed up some different prototypes in PLA.
Are you growing marijuana in your bathroom again?
Hey, here's the shade. It mounts on the wall with a flat side like that. And it's got a back part where you put the fixture and stuff. It's on the back. But cool. Yeah, I just printed it that, what is it called, draft mode or whatever. And
vase
Orca
mode?
Orca slice. No, I didn't print this in vase mode because it, what you were telling me about just the one layer wall.
Yeah.
And it had some kind of complex stuff going on in it. But if you go to the under process in Orca, you can go to like draft mode and extra draft. That's what I did. So it's 0.28 millimeter layers. It worked.
Have you tried a 0.6 yet?
Oh, a nozzle? No, yeah. I don't have any other nozzles except the. So
I'm still
do you have
my
to replace
nozzle.
The whole thing?
No, it just unscrews. It's just a really long stem on the bolt for the nozzle.
Oh, okay.
Shaft for the nozzle.
Did you get a 0.6?
I haven't used it. I mean, I'm still on the on my first one.
Yeah.
And you know that I ran the crap out of my printer so far, but
oh, yeah.
It's all been PLA, PETG, and ABS. And ABS, kind of surprised that I was able to go back to PLA afterwards and still haven't had any problems, but I picked up some extras just to make sure. I picked up a whole new hot end just in case.
Oh, you did?
New hot end.
Did you get it online or what?
Yeah, on Amazon. And then the prices came down, you know, like a month later. They dropped much lower. I have an extra hot end. I have an extra bed. I use the extra bed. And then I have, like, I think 4 extra nozzles.
What sizes did you get?
I got the variety pack, so I got a 0.2, a 0.4, a 0.6, and I think it was a 0.8.
0.8? Dang.
Yeah, big boy. Chonky.
I would like to try the 0.2 and just see how fine and detailed you can get something on there.
Yeah, well, unless you're printing something really, really small with a lot of detail, then there really isn't any point. Most people would tell you that there isn't a whole lot of point in 0.4 anymore because 0.6 doesn't look all that much different.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was running almost exclusively the 0.6 on the Ender, and things were coming out just fine.
But do you have to create a new profile for the 0.6, I guess? No.
In most cases, they already exist.
Oh,
just
okay.
Like the 0.4 stuff does. You just have to switch to the 0.6.
Didn't know that. Well, that sounds like a purchase in my future.
Yeah, you evidently don't lose, you know, much quality on the end quality of the print, the resolution, and you gain quite a bit of speed.
Yeah, all my stuff is just functional crap. I don't care about layer lines and stuff.
I go back and forth. I print something functional. I print something pretty. I print something pretty and functional.
This is my first time printing white.
Yeah, you had that Ender for so long and printed like two things on it.
I think I've printed blue and black and maybe gray on the Ender.
I'm kind of surprised you printed that many colors considering how long it was in use.
Not long. This thing's been running nonstop, though. I'm not designing something, I'm printing something.
I'm usually designing something while printing something. I just need to load up my next spool of filament.
Put a really big brim on this, right? I have to lift off.
I found that you, even with ABS, I really didn't need to get too extravagant with the brim. Stuck pretty well because the chamber temperature is pretty well maintained.
So mine is at about 42°C. Can't really seem to get it much higher than that.
That's perfectly acceptable, and especially as long as it's, you know, not changing.
I don't see any warping or anything. What about you, Jim, or GNU to Linux? Have you done any projects or anything lately?
I've been fiddling with some very picayune things. Nothing really worth detailing.
It's all worth detailing. Go for it. I ain't gonna hate on you for
you
it.
You really want to hear this? Okay.
Any over-the-air TV stuff?
Well, I can tell you that I feel lucky that the recast has been working, knock on wood, for the last few weeks straight. You know, they whatever issues Amazon had that were preventing this series recordings from working, they fixed it. You know, it's for the third time in like 2 years after weeks of constant issues. So for the moment, my recast is working fine, and even the connectivity to my router is working fine. So that's all great. I like that because, of course, it has the integration with the Fire TV sticks on all my TVs. But then I also have the Tableau 4th Gen as a backup. So effectively, you know, I have a splitter coming off the coax coming from the antenna, a powered splitter, and one coax run goes into each of the two DVRs. So I have a one backing up the other. So, and for any reason, one of them weird software glitch, something goes wrong, the other one should record. So I don't miss anything that way. So yeah, that's, I'm happy about that. So, you know, there's a number of things I'm recording. You know, I got to have Jeopardy every day. And, you know, until this year, a couple months ago, that was like the last holdout on streaming. And you can get Jeopardy on Hulu and Peacock, only the last five episodes. So it is finally available to those people who don't have over the air. But for the, you know, since 2019, when I cut the cord, you had to have cable or an antenna if you wanted Jeopardy. It's a syndicated show. You couldn't get it any other way. So, yeah, that's working well. So, all right. So I play, this is trivial. So I have a phone and I downloaded LawnChair, the launcher on my Android phone. Galaxy A53 5G. And there's a weird little quirk. I'm using the icons on this phone, but for some reason, the standard default icons, even though I'm using LawnChair, the launcher, and there's something wrong. The little icon for the calendar app in LawnChair, it doesn't update because it has the date on it, right? The little icon on the front of my phone screen says like Thursday, you know, NOV 20, or like today, right? So it wasn't updating every day like it would as if I ran the standard, you know, one UI. And that's annoying because who the hell wants to go in and like manually change the stupid little icon every day? I certainly got tired of it. So this is, I told you this is picayune, but I spent a good hour or so fiddling with some, icon packs to find a blue icon that would, you know, sort of blend in with the rest of my icons that looks like it belongs with each other, with the other ones. So that way it would, I wouldn't have to manually update this every day. I doubt you could see it. Maybe you can. Actually, yeah. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, right there in the middle, that's supposed to be a page of an old school calendar getting torn off the wall. and it kind of goes, you know, the color and the shape and size kind of blends right in with my other one. So yeah, that's something that I spend an unreasonable amount of time futzing with to find a little icon that worked, that I wouldn't have to update every day in lawn chair. So
cool.
Well, I did something else. I spent hours on this too, and this is also pretty petty, but I don't know if any of you guys use IRC or that's a relic of the past.
We used to.
Yeah.
Relic.
I still do. But I tried a whole bunch of IRC clients this week, trying to find one better than what I had. And the conclusion I arrived at was there's nothing better than what I'm already using. So that was all a big waste of time. So I tried a lot. They all had issues. None of them were as nice as what I was using. So it's not free. It's not open source, but IRC Cloud is what I use. And it's the free version, so you only get two networks. But yeah, so I spent a good amount of time fiddling with that, going around the horn. I must have tried 10 different clients to see if I can find one that was free and open source, that didn't have any limitations. They all suck compared to IRC Cloud.
All right, since you brought up phones, I was going to bring this up, see if y'all had any ideas. I've kind of brought this is the Sony Z5 Compact, Xperia Compact. I brought that back to life. It's running Android 7.1.1. I really like the size. This is before they stopped making smaller phones. And it has a nice little screen, and but I thought it'd be perfect for, like, I don't know. is there anything y'all can think of that I could use a little phone like this for? I mean, it's still in great condition. It just...
I saw a piece of software. There's probably more than one, no doubt, but you could turn that phone into a little webcam,
you know,
on your network, put it somewhere, you know, in your house or out, pointing out your window, or even outside if it's reasonably weatherproof. And
you can get it to integrate with Home Assistant too.
Mm-hmm. So the security camera. I've tried that before, not with this one, but another one. And it got so hot after a while, after the camera was on for so long, it would just shut down. I don't know if this one will do the same thing, but I could use it as like with Droid Cam as a laptop webcam, but when I left it on for several hours, it would just get too hot and shut down.
Yeah, that depends on the phone, yeah.
Oh, did you guys talk about or see what Nintendo did?
Mm-mm.
Third-party like docking stations, they bricked them. They made it so they don't work with the Switch 2.
Why?
Because they're Nintendo and they wanted to. Only officially licensed ones.
That sounds about right. How's it going with that blue phone?
It's so I take it out maybe once a week to drive around with it. Because it has that progressive app on it. That's the only reason I bought it.
Melt the car?
So that it can register that I drove with it, you know?
Yeah. And, like an old lady?
Yeah, it keeps my insurance down. But other than that, I've been using it to play games on, like They've had these Opolis games on sale on the Play Store. Townopolis, Romeopolis. These little city building games that are pretty old, but they've been on sale for like 99 cents. They're a lot of fun, but they're real small. It's hard to see. And that thing's got such a big screen. It's only 720p, but the screen size itself is really big. It's a lot easier to see on there. So I've been playing little games. But I don't think it would do good with like a modern game, but that works fine. I don't really use it outside, because even like scrolling on the internet is very slow. One thing it has is, I forgot what they call it, XRAM or something, where you could partition part of the internal memory or internal storage is extra RAM. So it has 2 gigs of RAM, and you could partition up to 4 gigs of the internal storage to give you 6 gigs of quote-unquote RAM. But I didn't see that it made much of a difference just because the storage is slow, you know. Other than that, I haven't done anything with it. Play little games. I would like to do something with this little Z5 Compact. This might make a neat little e-reader, too, because it's like easy enough to carry around with you. I don't know. 7.1.1. What version of Android is out now? Do you guys know?
15 is the new one.
15.
Really? I mean, this thing runs a lot faster than that blue phone. It's just stuck on an old version of Android.
Yeah, I've always thought about buying one of those like mini Android phones, but they all seem to have like Android 11 on them.
Oh, really?
Really small ones.
So I put Droidify on here, which is just the front end for F-Droid, and just kind of look at different apps. And I haven't really found anything that piques my interest as far as like. But I'd like to take advantage of the small size. Also, I thought maybe like a little smart clock or something, you know, print a dock for it. And I could put like a home assistant home screen on there, like you were saying, integrate it with home assistant or something. I don't know. I just hate to waste it. It's still finally functional. Y'all got any old phones that you kept?
Yeah, I got lots
around. I thought about doing something with them.
I have in the past. I mean, for a while, I was running Octoprint
on your phone, really,
and it worked. Then I freed up a Pi and started using the Pi, and then I got the mini rack and started using the Docker instance, and then I got the Centauri Carbon and beat it.
I remember we were all using the that Droid Cam app for a while.
Yeah. Ooh. The 2-pack for the entire like extruder kit hot end right now is on Black Friday deal. It's normally $41.30. It's currently up for $25.59.
So it comes with a hot end and the nozzle, or what is it?
Yeah, here.
How much did you say it was?
$25.59, and that gets you 2 backup hot ends.
Really?
Nozzles, brushes, silicone. And it comes with that one, that particular one, it comes with a 0.2 millimeter and a 0.4 millimeter.
I do want to try the 0.6 millimeter, at least.
Yeah, but you can buy a kit with just the nozzles and get like 3 or 4 nozzles. And it's always good to have spares, because sooner or later, you know, they wear out. I'm really surprised how long this one's lasted so far.
Yeah. Yeah, 0.8 nozzle, wow. Big boy.
And that's draft style printing, but, you know, for big objects that you want to print quickly.
Yeah.
Netminer, you been working on anything?
Not really. I've been just shuffling stuff around, trying to organize some of my bookmark stuff. What I've been doing quietly in the background, trying to get stuff squared away for updating a bunch of my machines to the new MX-24.
Have you been playing around with Devlin at all?
Not so far, but I might try it on one of the minis if I... I've got a couple of small screens that I can hang off one of the minis and one of the micros you gave me and load Devlon on that. It probably would run all right.
How about you, Lovecraft? You been working on anything?
Not really, although did end up getting my dad cleared to start driving again.
Wow.
So he got evaluated at physical therapy today, so that's a plus. So should be having some more free time shortly. So I was real happy about that.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a long couple of months, and this way, you know, he can get some of his freedom back and kind of just free things up a little bit. But yeah, it's been a long road.
That's good.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. So now do you want to talk about that awesome movie we watched?
I had plans to watch it today after work. And then
am I on the right podcast?
And then maybe. I had one person call in sick and ended up having to work a split shift because it was my second shift person. So I have not seen it.
Well,
the write-up sounded okay.
It's very corny.
The write-up lied. Straight up lied to you. So the previous movie was
tell me
called
all about it.
The Hacker Wars. It is a documentary about... basically, it talks about Anonymous from back in, what was it, early 2000s?
Yeah.
So it mostly talked about people who were not Anonymous.
What'd
one
think,
was a guy who was a journalist.
Since we lived through that whole era, you would think it would be kind of an interesting watch. But like you said, they didn't talk about...
So no really. Hacking was talked about at all.
Yeah.
There was... It basically talked about two guys. One was a former journalist who was an anonymous sympathizer who basically just kind of... people, other news outlets would talk to him and he would just defend groups like Anonymous. I don't know why news outlets would continue to talk to him. My understanding, he even admitted to having no technical knowledge whatsoever, but he seemed to, but for some reason they kept on talking to him, and he was part of the, part of this documentary. The other one was a guy named Wheeze. It was Wheeze, right?
Yeah.
Wheeze. He was basically just a popular online troll who one day saw that if he added a random digit to the end of a AT&T URL, that he can then figure out other people's email addresses. So he took that collection of email addresses that he figured by just adding an extra digit to the end of a certain URL, and he sent them to some journalist, and then he got arrested for it.
I remember when that happened.
His hacking is about the equivalent of what I used to do on a site called Super Thumbs when I was about 19 years old, where the only thing I would do is I found the Super Thumbs was just a web page that somebody came up with a bunch of thumbnails of porn. So I would just go click onto that, and then I can just, once I got clicked onto that thing, I can then just roam around the rest of the site because the network security back then sucked.
Oh, yeah. So no, it's like the porn sites back in the day, you'd find one picture that they were offering for free, but they were offering the rest of them for free, and you'd see a number at the top. The picture was numbered, so you just add a number,
yeah.
See the next one.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you just have full reign of the site with doing absolutely nothing. That's pretty much the equivalent of what this guy did. Didn't really hack at all. They talked briefly about other things that like that groups like Anonymous actually did, like I don't even remember, but where they would take over like government sites and just, you know, shut it down and, you know,
post random things.
Yeah, on government websites. So they have people who were labeled as hacktivists on during the documentary, but they didn't talk to those people at all during the documentary. They only talked to those two guys, pretty much. Two jackasses who know nothing about actual hacking. This was the documentary, in a nutshell.
Was it a true story documentary?
Yeah, it was accurate documentary. I don't know why, Medics, we can't hear you. Your lips are moving, and I can't hear what you're saying.
But
don't forget about smoke the horizon.
Don't forget about the guy who was a FBI rat or something, or what was his name?
Well, yeah, that one group. It wasn't Anonymous. It was an offshoot of Anonymous or something, and just another hacker group, activist group. Something. Big one guy got arrested and he ratted everybody out.
Yeah.
Of that group.
Or an informant or something.
Yeah.
But really, like, what they were doing wasn't... I mean, it wasn't anything like what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
It was very low rent. It wasn't like dark web stuff or anything, really. It's like
right.
Stupid shit, like what Funky said, about the email addresses.
Yeah, and why the hell did they even talk to that other guy all the time?
I don't know.
He's admittedly doesn't know anything about tech, but he's like
I remember every time something happened with Anonymous, he was on the news talking. Mm-hmm. I remember that back then.
Why?
Could nobody else would talk? Maybe he knew more than what he pretended. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk about it.
Yeah, I guess.
Sometimes you have to fill 5 minutes on a show.
Yeah, I watched it. I agree. It left a little to be desired. The only saving grace is that there were a few attractive women on the show that were interviewed as a part of the group or something. I don't think they were hackers either, but they were like social media type people. But yeah.
Well, what was that? Weezer's girlfriend, who was
one of them, was
biochemist or something like that? Activist or something. Yeah, that was surprising. Yeah, I mean, like even the whole documentary part of it was still crappy.
It wasn't interesting.
Like they would show a picture of a person and then just show like the names of different news outlets. That was like a whole 5 minute scene.
Yeah,
there was no like information at all.
We watched this other documentary called what was that Linux documentary we watched?
I thought you were going to say Catfish, a fake documentary.
No.
What was the name of the Linux documentary?
That one was a lot.
Revolution OS?
Yes. Yeah, Revolution. Because you actually learned some stuff, and it was actually interesting, too. And like the people they were talking to were actually important people and stuff. And this one was like the opposite of that.
The BBS one was better than this.
Yeah, yeah. The BBS one was cool.
The
BBS too. One
was actually really good.
The one we watched on the text-based games. That one was
one was cool too. What was it called? Get Lamp.
That's it.
Yeah, I like that one.
I enjoyed that.
That's the dude from textfiles.com and the Internet Archive.org.
Archive.org.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Internet's boy or something like that.
Those people were actually interesting.
Was Aaron Schwartz, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good too.
That was good. This was garbage.
Yeah, this just hot you didn't garbage. Miss anything, Joe. I wouldn't even watch it.
Okay. Glad I missed it then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I think after hearing Honky describe Weeze or whatever his name was, I think I I think I did actually see this at some point in the past. Is there a scene where he's they're having a party for him after he gets out of jail? Like it's like up on a roof or something, right. Maybe?
It was before sentencing.
Oh, it was before. Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah.
The journalist was the guy that was going to get the biggest sentence, I think, like 100 years or something. And he didn't even do the hacking.
And it's useless information anyways. It's just email addresses.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was actual content of the emails.
Right.
Oh my God, no, I got somebody's email address.
The end of the documentary did address something that actually is even more important nowadays than it was then. They were talking about the cameras out that were recording people around. Something that has now, you know, if you've read recent news stories, the frightening integration of all the different traffic cameras and license plate readers that are all around the country and how they're being used to track Americans for all kinds of things.
I know it's that. Still bad here, but it just makes me want to bring up that it's a lot worse other places.
What do you mean other places? Other countries?
Like in the UK.
No. The UK, you basically can't walk down the street without being on several cameras.
China.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I gave it a thumbs down. I didn't think it was
in. Yeah, I agree. Got to get back to some good old bad science fiction.
We do. Let's see. There it is. All right, the next movie, Code 2600 from 2012.
Does that sound good? 2600?
About the Hacker Magazine?
Oh. Is that the Atari 2600?
Probably 2600 Magazine.
Documents.
No, it's the Atari 2600.
Infotech Age. Followed by the events. What's Infotech? Was that a game company?
I think so.
Oh, Jeremy Zarachek. Is that the archive.org guy?
That's Jason Scott.
Oh, Jason Scott.
So it's code 2600 from 2011?
Yeah.
I have code 2600 documents.
It says 2012 here.
Followed by the events and people who helped build and manipulate it. It explores the impact this new connectivity has on our ability to remain human while maintaining our personal privacy and security. Huh?
It says, storyline, as we struggle to comprehend the wide-spanning socio-technical fallout caused by data collection and social networks, our modern culture is trapped in an undercurrent of cyber attacks, identity theft, and privacy evasion. Both enlightening and disturbing, Code 2600, a provocative wake-up call for a society caught in the grips of a global technology takeover. Is it a movie or a documentary?
It looks like a documentary. If you look at the cast, it's all says self. So.
Oh, okay. Do y'all want to watch another documentary or you want to watch a movie?
That's fine. I have higher hopes for this. What's that?
I already gave my vote already.
Do you want a documentary or you want to do crazy sci-fi? Or whatever it is that we do. You want to do this one or you want to pick another one? We'll do this one next time.
We'll do this one next time. Okay. That last documentary really drained my life force. Next one is Death Machine from 1994.
There we go.
Oh, we've already seen this one.
Did we?
Brad Dourif.
I don't remember seeing a movie called Death Machine.
Yeah, we saw this one.
Death Machine, what year?
1994.
Sounds familiar.
Or did I just see
it? A mad genius inventor of killer robots and cyborgs at Chank Armaments Corp. kills execs, he unleashes his ultimate death machine on the new cute CEO, firing him. No, we have not watched this.
Okay. We'll watch it.
Ice Twisters. Jackie wants to add Ice Twisters to the list.
Okay.
Put it on the list.
So, Death Machine from 1994. On Tubi.
Good.
I like this. I think I like this. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've
seen it. The link is not working.
What link?
Playlist?
Oh.
Cloud link?
The Etherpad link?
Is it the old one? It's no longer Nextcloud, so...
Yeah, it's been on Etherpad forever now.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the element room and looking at the notes there.
And it hasn't
been updated there.
Has a Nextcloud link? Oh, it does. You're right. Let me change that.
Maybe?
I'm looking for the... can't find the plugins on here. Oh, there they are. Okay. Extensions.
Posted that. Etherpad. I reposted that Amazon link into the right show notes now.
Okay. Yeah, there's an Etherpad plugin in the Matrix room now.
How do I access that?
I have a pinned message where the move list is. So you can click on the Etherpad, and there is a way to. Share button. There it is. Maybe we should put this link in there, Honky. I'm going to put it in the show notes.
All right.
Let's see, movie list.
Pinned message takes me to a message.
It tells you how to access it. But I put it in the show notes under movie list. If you click on that, it'll go to the... It's actually a plugin for Element. The Ice Twister? Is that what you're adding?
Talking about looking at the info for the room.
No, I mean I put it in the show notes too. Ice Twisters. That looks like a disaster movie. Is that a tech movie?
It is. She says it's a tech movie.
Tomatoes. Is it tomatoes?
Tornadoes.
Oh.
Tomatoes.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, yeah.
That's a tech movie, isn't it?
I mean, at least Hacker Wars was a tech movie, but it wasn't a good one.
See if I can find Ice Twisters.
Find it IMDb or the movie?
Found it IMDb.
Who did you say got that 4-pack of filament?
My daughter is getting me the 4-pack of filament.
Oh, she is. That is nice of her.
Christmas, probably. So, I tend to...
YouTube.
If I find something in their price range, I share it with them. And then they do the same courtesy for me. I give them a price range. And if they want something for Christmas, they send it to me. I buy that. It makes my life so much easier. Four movies.
I'm gonna get this one roll deal.
Those in the UK.
2024? Yeah, when AI induced tornadoes ravage the UK. So yes, this is a tech movie.
Okay.
It's Natural Disaster Week.
And that would be.
Who's that, Jackie? Or your daughter?
I don't mind putting these in here because she'll actually watch these with me.
All right.
Yeah, this is definitely a tech movie. When a network of satellites designed to control the global climate starts to attack Earth, their AI goes crazy. Qualifies as a tech movie.
Said they add ABS to this PLAF.
Actually, a hypo.
That's interesting. They added ABS. So that would change the temperature. So. You'd have to probably do all custom settings. I don't remember seeing PLAF in the list. Yes, we're supposed to watch disaster movies the week of Thanksgiving at our house.
Oh, really?
Oh, there you go. What else do you have on the list?
What, of our disaster movies?
Yes.
Skyscraper? Yes. Tend to watch it at the same time, though. Yes. San Andreas. Yes.
Volcano.
What's that one? New York.
Tornado Terror.
New York Tornado Terror. Apocalypse.
Category 6, Category 7.
Here. You seem very passionate.
So, all my kids are home during Thanksgiving. My own or no? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Got really quiet. So Natural Disaster Week happens the week of Thanksgiving at our house, and every night we put on a really terrible natural disaster movie. The one that we can basically tear apart with real science. So we've done Dante's Peak, we've done both Twisters, we've done the Russian version of Twisters, we've done New York Tornado Terror, Ice Twisters, Stonehenge Apocalypse, Deep Horizon, I've done Geostorm with kids. We did Mega Fault. God, that was terrible. imagine setting off an explosion in Tennessee in a mine, and it causes a mega fault to go from Tennessee all the way to the Grand Canyon.
Oh boy.
Dante's Peak. Volcano is a reoccurrence every year because we like that one. And then we've done Volcano in New York City, Category 6, Category 7. Joe likes to add Sharknado, but he usually gets booed down.
Aww.
I mean, if you add Asylum, if you allow Asylum movies to your list, you're opening yourself up to a lot of movies and a lot of pain.
Yeah, Joe made us watch this movie called Soldiers one time. It was an Asylum movie.
I love him, but some of his movies are questionable. And I had to watch Birdemic.
Well, to be fair, Birdemic is both horrible and awesome at the same time.
With really terrible audio.
Yes.
That was in and out before they even got the coat hangers. So the whole thing is I started doing this when I was in college. We would take over the geology building, which is the old library built in the 1900s. So the only classroom that's not a lab is under like a sub-basement. And we had the big picture film, and we would watch movies in there, especially during from like Thanksgiving week all the way through finals. So you could just walk in there and watch a movie to relax. And they were always really terrible geology movies. And so I decided I would share that with the kids, and they got stuck with it, and they now have to help me find them. And
excellent.
It's something, because the only thing that everybody gets excited about is watching the Macy's Day Parade, but since it's now behind paywalls, we get a little pissy. Oof. Here's Joe.
Why?
What?
I mean, why do we have to go down market to Joe?
Huh? What?
I was thinking of Jackie as up market from Joe.
Sorry.
Cold-blooded.
I feel terrible for you.
Yeah, well, I'm already suffering. I don't have a lovely lady of my own, so you guys that do, you know, give me a break.
Have been playing any games?
I got Unreal Tournament set up.
Has the holiday sale started yet on Steam?
Well, Unreal Tournament's not available on Steam.
Oh, okay.
Basically not available anywhere. Download it. Interesting to try and set up on Linux. Honestly, the easiest way is probably what I did, is to grab the setup.exe file and then run that with through Steam with Proton, and then create the game folder somewhere in your system, and then use Steam again and Proton to run the executable for the game.
Is it connected to a game server? Or?
Not the way I'm running it.
You just play against a computer?
Yeah.
I wonder if people still play it online.
Yeah, there is actually a thriving community around it.
Oh, is there?
One of our listeners, Bitcast, likes to post about it. So, but yeah. And I guess I played a little bit of Arcanum. And I played a little bit of Borderlands 2. I was having a rough day, and sometimes it's just nice to make things go boom.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You are not wrong, sir.
What about your game-making stuff, Honky?
I have completely stalled for the moment. I was spent a lot of time trying to make backgrounds for things, and it did not turn out very well, and so I'm going to change the way I do all of that. But lately, I've been a little bit happier just playing some games and de-stressing than making something.
Ooh.
So I gotta sit down and make the main character sprite too, and that's gonna take some time. And then I have to rework how I want to do the backgrounds and, you know, places and stuff. So I was gonna do something like to generate an image and use that as the background, but that's not, I can't get that to work the way I want it to, so I'm gonna do it like almost basically kind of like Final Fantasy style, the original Final Fantasy style, where it has like little houses and stuff. So I'm just gonna do that, but I have to update the some of those fit my environment. It's a more modern-day environment.
So you're using your local AI model?
Oh yeah, I have built a nice little computer over here. That's purpose is basically just to run Stable Diffusion, but it spends, because of how much electricity it would suck up if I left it running all the time, it kind of sits over here pretty quiet until I want to use Stable Diffusion. So yeah, my brother was working on a project recently where he's trying to do a. Use like a ChatGPT type thing for a choose your own adventure type like a text based game.
Mm-hmm.
So he started working on that, and he got it working pretty well. But it requires a subscription for to use a what is the word I'm thinking of? Where you write code and the code calls back to something else. It's called a
reference, import,
function.
No, what the thing it's calling back is to like a service.
Oh, an API.
API. So it has there's a certain AI API that it calls, makes a call to, but to be able to get that running is like a subscription service. So I might try to do something where I try to run it locally. And see if I can get that to work out. But
you start charging to use it.
No, well, if you could set it up and then set it up as like a the game as like a web game or even a text based game where you can SSH into somewhere and play it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's something that he came up with on his spare time. So,
where's your brother live at?
Down the road from me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, because of conflicting schedules, we don't get to see each other that much. But I see him maybe once a week. He comes in shopping. I mean, I would just sit there and talk for like half an hour.
You older or younger?
2 years older. All right. Do we have anything else for tonight? Or have we run through everything?
I can't think of anything.
Anybody else have anything?
I got a neat little USB stick.
Why is it, what makes your USB stick neat?
Is that what she's calling it these days?
You know what? I was going to come up with something like that, but I figured I would just...
just let me do it. You know it's going to come out of my mouth sooner or later.
So it's got...
That's what she said.
it's a little, like a USB thumb drive, but yep. Then you can flip it, and it's got USB-C on the other side.
Oh, there you go.
They gave them away at work.
Does the storage?
Or is it storage or an adapter?
No, it's storage, 64 gigabytes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Kind of cool. Put a home drive on there. Put a boot directory on there.
Yeah, I should find something cool to do with it.
That's security right there. I mean, if you encrypt your drive and then you use that as your
home directory.
Grub directory or something.
What were we talking about that you could boot into Tails from?
Ventoy.i.
iVentoy.
Is that what it was called?
Then I was using an a VM on my mini rack.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, to boot into Tails using iVentoy. Have it destructible. And with my shares, I could store app images and then just mount a share, and all my applications are available.
You know, I ought to do something for the Ludcast with this little phone, or some kind of little web server. I don't know what we'd use it for. I wonder if they have a BBS for Android. Uh-huh. Just for ARM, I could run it in Termux.
Didn't you try very hard to make a BBS?
But I haven't gone back to it. I should. I bet I could do it pretty easy now. I did make a BBS. It worked fine, but you could only SSH or Telnet into it. The problem I was having was getting it to display right in the web browser. Oh, I did find a Linux on Android Play Store. It seemed different from the way we've ran them before. And Chroot. I'll post a link in the show notes. What was it called? It had a weird name.
Operating system, is it that runs completely from RAM? Completely from RAM.
Oh,
I think one of those might be interesting to put onto iVentoy.
I used to run, what was it from RAM?
Puppy?
The one that uses PKG for the package manager. It's in all the Docker, everybody uses Alpine.
Oh,
Alpine, okay.
Yeah, runs from RAM.
Puppy, there are versions of Puppy that run straight in RAM. Then you have TinyCore. What? I had a list. I was looking at that recently.
Okay, I put the link in the show notes. It's called a Gnomon Desktop, Linux and VR. Let's see. What I had. All about the app. There we go. Built from scratch with productivity and performance in mind, easiest way to install Linux on your phone, intuitive desktop, window-based multitasking, finding your way. We did our best to blur the barrier. Initial release. VR mode. Anyway. But it's cool because it works kind of like Dex does, where it pulls up a full desktop when you plug in a dock.
Cool.
Bordering on convergence.
I've run Linux on Android before, and it's always been like, you know, setting up a VNC into a VM.
Yeah.
Same thing?
No, it's different. I was trying to figure out how it's different. I have a website.
Fellas, I got a bit of a headache. I'm going to log off for tonight before it gets worse.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow, and then definitely on Sunday.
Yep.
Have a good night, man.
Good night.
It says it has all the needed functionality without the hassle of using VNC server viewer. Delivers a significant performance improvement over those methods. Anyway, that's it. All right, I'm going to bed. And hopefully no spaghetti.
Did anybody watch anything interesting?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that before you jumped on. What'd you say, Netminer?
Should we, like, close the show?
Close the
show? I guess.
Yeah, we can. I watched, I've been watching Poltergeist Legacy. The Legacy, do you remember that show?
Vaguely.
It's really good. I recommend it.
Started watching the sci-fi version of Van Helsing.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I'm most of the way through season two.
I liked that one and the Winona Earp. Those were good shows.
Yeah,
I really liked Winona Earp, and I think that was the reason I had never started watching Van Helsing.
Did you ever see the continuation on the Tubi did?
Tubi.
The Tubi movie, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that there was a Tubi movie. I didn't watch it, though.
I started it, and then I fell asleep, and I never went back to it.
That bad?
No, it wasn't bad. It was just I fell asleep. It's also been a while since I've seen, since I saw the end of Winona Earp. And it just kind of picks right up. And a lot happened at the very end of Winona Earp, so.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't, you know, Winona. She didn't have the gun no more.
Right.
And what's his name was no longer a vampire.
Oh, I've been watching Earth 2 as well. That's a great show.
Is that where they had the one guy as the main character and he wanted to quit the show and they had to change all the writing?
No, that was Babylon 5.
No.
The captain? When he left?
No. Sheridan? Oh. No, I remember that. No, I think Earth 2, the main character?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't he leave the show?
Well, the main character is a woman, though.
Oh, is that Roddenberry?
I don't know who wrote it, but it's the one where they're looking for a planet where these people have this disease that they can't live on Earth, so they're looking for a planet where they can live there.
I'm not sure what he's talking about. He's talking about it's a show where aliens come to Earth and like they're acting like they're going to be friendly, and they have like a couple of like
people. And they have some weird.
There's like three or four people that are like the liaisons between Earth and the aliens. I can't remember the name. It is a Roddenberry show, though, for sure.
Another one along the same lines of, you know, the female main character and everything that y'all might enjoy if you don't remember it is Lost Girl.
What's it called?
What's it called?
Lost Girl.
Lost Girl? That was good. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it.
The Succubus?
Yep.
Earth Final Conflict.
Oh, okay. That sounds familiar. Oh, Earth 2 is really good, though.
I'm looking at it. I'm not sure if I saw it or not.
Yeah, it's basically they land on this planet that's supposed to be really similar to Earth, like atmosphere-wise and stuff. It just got different aliens and creatures on it, and it's good sci-fi.
Yeah, I liked it. It was pretty good.
But I heard it ended kind of like on a, got canceled, so it ended kind of on a cliffhanger and never got picked back up.
It happens with all these shows. So they, like that show on sci-fi from a couple of years ago, Dark Matter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh man, this show's going to be on forever because it's great. And then it's just,
yeah
and they had, I think I'd heard that they had stuff plotted out for forever for that.
Yeah, that really left me hanging. I was like, oh man.
That's when they're on the ship. It's based on a book series.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, that's interesting.
Well, you're talking about the Thomas Jane one.
That's Expanse, and I thought I read something recently Expanse. That they're bringing the Expanse back.
Are they really?
Expanse, I think, is the one that was.
Yeah, that's based on a books.
Expanse was good up until like some of the later seasons, where it wasn't necessarily bad. It just isn't necessarily good.
It was just repetitive.
Yeah. Well, it's like they had a larger story, but then they kind of decided to condense it down because they opened up a whole new, like, there was a whole thing where they opened up a giant wormhole to go into all of these other worlds and stuff, and they just kind of like, well, we're just gonna kind of all of that and end it off.
Yeah, well, in the book series, they did open up a wormhole to completely different place, but then they actually did do some stuff, and I kind of stopped reading it at that point because it did get a little they're redoing Stargate.
What?
I guess they're reboot. Yeah, something like that.
Why don't they just make a new series like Atlantis or Universe,
or continue on with Universe?
Yeah, that ended on a real shitty cliffhanger too.
All right. Killing it. Our next recording date will be December 5th, 2025. Our music is Downright, provided by Klaatu and Brome, and we'd like to thank Minix for the Mumble server and many of the other servers that that the Linux Slugcast uses.
I've been your host for this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight has been, oh crap, I gotta pull it up.
Nudes Linux.
Joe.
Yep, good night.
Lovecraft.
Good night.
Minix.
Good night.
And of course, Morton C.
Good night, everyone.
All right, good night, everybody.
This space virus, space hive mind. Astronauts come back with whatever, and they start infecting people slowly at first, and then mass infect the whole planet. And there's 12 people who are immune.
Is that a show?
Yeah. I think it's Kirkman that did Walking Dead. I think it's his new show.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I think. I don't know.
Actually, I think it's Vince Gillian from X-Files. I think is attached to it as well.
Really? Interesting.
He's also connected with Walking Dead.
Oh, is he? Okay. It's episode 4 is out, Morton C.
I need to check my R's and see why it's not on. Why it hadn't loaded.
I've got it if you need it.
I see it. I have it downloaded. It just hasn't loaded. So my Firefox updated while I was in Massachusetts, and now my sessions won't restore. And I have like hundreds of tabs open. Lost everything. Elle and I started watching Elsbeth. I don't know how many seasons. I think it's like on the third or fourth season.
Yeah, I've seen that advertised. What is it?
So she's a criminal defense attorney, and because of some corruption scandal, there's a one-year appointment of an outside observer for the police department. And she's working for the FBI, looking into what they're doing, and she's supposed to be investigating one specific person, but she's solving crimes that the first one, somebody commits suicide by jumping out of their building after taking pills, and she immediately can tell that it's murder, homicide. Just like a couple things she noticed, specifically the girl had just put in whitening strips, and there was a men's deodorant in her bathroom, and she had a diaphragm case in it, no diaphragm in it, so she assumed it was in the body, which the coroner confirmed, and she said this doesn't make sense why somebody would commit suicide.
Oh, spaghetti. Your thing fell over. I watched that first episode of it, and I...
Was it worth watching, Morton C, you think? Good stuff?
It's silly. She pretends to be ditzy and dumb, but she keeps being right about stuff, so it's kind of got that, like, Columbo vibe.
Yeah.
Elle and I watched 2 episodes last week. I still haven't. We'll probably watch more. Yeah,
I watched that first episode and just I don't know. She kind of annoyed me. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I don't know if that's intentional. If that's what it seems like, that's what they're going for in the show,
right?
But yeah. 2 episodes in, I'm still. It's not at the top of my list to watch. but Elle and I will watch it. It's something that we can watch together. She's getting a little weird about all the horror movies I watch.
I understand.
She's in for a treat. She's in for a treat because I think I have about 20 Krampus movies queued up for Christmas.
And have you guys watched the new It? Welcome to Derry.
No, I haven't started it yet.
I'm like two episodes in. It's not too bad. It's setting up obviously a lot of the backstory. It's pretty interesting. I'm liking it so far.
Al saw ads for it and wanted to watch it, and I was like, let's watch the movies first. And we got like 15 minutes into the movie, and she's like, no.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, I mean just that day. Yeah.
Which one?
Chapter one, right?
Oh, of the newer versions?
And then the new movie, the 2017 movie.
Has she seen the miniseries one from before that?
No.
Oh, okay.
That one was better.
Yeah, I enjoyed that more too.
It's got John Ritter.
She's been watching the Stephen King stuff. Randomly, she watched Dr. Sleep and something else recently.
Has she seen Maximum Overdrive yet?
No.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Sleepwalkers?
Not so much.
That's with the cats, right?
Yeah.
That's with Tracy Lords.
I really like that the Stand miniseries.
I know.
In the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the best.
What,
Gary Sinise.
What was the one?
Yep.
What was the one with the cats?
Sleepwalkers.
Yeah.
Sleepwalkers. Tracy Lords was in Tommyknockers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was with Lou Diamond Phillips, too.
Yeah. She worked. She was one of the post office employee.
Also, I don't know if any of you guys watched Legend of Vox Machina, the Critical Role D&D guys. They have another series out now called The Mighty Nine, which is like their another campaign separate from Vox Machina. Looks like the first three episodes of that are out.
Cool.
Should we start the show?
Sure, let's start the show. Have you been recording?
Yeah.
Okay, because apparently when I was having audio problems, I had stopped the recording and I didn't. I thought I started it back up, but I didn't. So I didn't get a lot of that beginning bit. Yeah. But I'll have the show part.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Linux Link Tech Show. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Find us on the web at www.twlts.org or email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC server, thelinuxlink.net /techshow. Join Pat, Alan, Link, and Joel. And don't forget the two Dans. They are so hot. I know, because I've kissed them both. And Blind Rich, he's a bloody drunk guy.
If you don't like a gas, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it back.